Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of studies out of the book of Matthew. So get close to your radio and have your Bible ready as we take a deeper look in the book.
Oh, my goodness. They some of the toughest folks in the world to deal with, because they'll sit in the office and they'll tell you, you know, I know I'm doing wrong, but I ain't that bad. Well, now, how much bad do it take? See, think about it. What makes rat poison rat poison? 98% of rat poison is just grain. It's the 2% of that poison that kill you. That's how it is in our relationship. 90% may be all right, but it's at 10%. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's them lit foxes. Amen. 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 It's just like we got a fig tree there in our backyard. And it's the lit birds. They be eating all my figs. It's the little birds, them little bitty things. It ain't no big buzzard that coming down there and eating. It's that little bitty bird that's out there singing in early in the morning. Calling his friends. Hey, y'all, you come on over here. We got some figs for breakfast. It's them little bitty thing. And if I don't go and do what my wife's better go and put that net over. If I don't hear them put the net over, they don't eat just about all them things. Yeah. And look like they know exactly when to come. Hello, somebody. Amen. Amen. Let's go on a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further. All right, so we see the birth of the king. But now notice, John refused to baptize them because they were not repenting of their sins. And he called them a den of snakes. Now listen, we often talk about preaching today and how people today want to be positive preaching and stuff like that. Now look at John preaching. Look at this man preaching. The reason I say look at his preaching is because when you read Matthew chapter 11, Jesus eulogized John. And he says, out of all the men that had been born of women, there hadn't risen a greater one than John the Baptist. Why did Jesus say that John was so great? It's because John wasn't afraid to call a spade a spade. Can't you imagine these religious leaders coming down? Could be the high priest and the pastors of the different, you know, organizations and what have the synagogues and stuff. Reverend this and Reverend that coming down there, and John say, hey, your mama is a snake. Your dad is a snake. Who told y'all snakes to come down here to get baptized? Y'all snakes need to get on away from here. I ain't laying one hand on all y'all until y'all repent of your sins. Yeah. And John introduced Jesus. That's why he was such a great man. He made it. He prepared the way for the Lord. He prepared the way. Now notice, verse 13. Then Jesus arrived. Now notice, the religious leaders came first. John said, I ain't baptizing y'all. Get away from him. But then, somebody say then. Yeah. Then Jesus arrived. Do you see the contrast? Any of these, all these guys that was coming down there, they they was trying to act like they was the big shots and stuff. But John said, I ain't baptizing none of y'all. I ain't laying hand. I ain't throwing no water. I don't care how muddy this water is. This muddy water is too clean for y'all. Verse number 13, then Jesus arrived from Galilee. Wait a minute. Where's John at? I wish I had a map. It said, then Jesus arrived from Galilee. A lot of times we don't appreciate our Lord because when we just read a scripture like that, we don't know where Galilee is at. We don't know where Jerusalem is at. We don't know where John is at. So it really don't mean anything to us. But when you study the background, it said Jesus left from Galilee. Galilee was the northern part of Israel. It was up by the Sea of Galilee. John was baptizing right before you get to the Dead Sea. So you got the Sea of Galilee, you got the Jordan River, and it empties into the Dead Sea. John was right before the river emptied into the Dead Sea. That's about 70 miles. And Jesus is walking. And he finally arrived. Now, isn't that something? Now, how many of y'all have ever walked to Dallas? Huh? Y'all hadn't walked to Dallas? Why not? It's just to Dallas. From Irving to downtown, we're looking at about 17 miles. That's all, just 17 miles. You see? 17 miles. Notice, Jesus never owned a donkey. Never had, but you're going to see Jesus walking all over Israel. Now you think about that. 70 miles is about from here to Canton, Texas, right before you, about 20 miles before you get to Tyler. A couple of miles before you get to Tyler. Or just take, Tyler is 90 miles. And so take off 20. Amen. It used to be, we used to stop at that, when we was coming back from Mississippi, we would always stop at that rest stop, and it was 72 miles from Dallas. 72 miles from Dallas. So it used to be a rest stop. I think the rest stop is still out there. Yeah, it's at that 72 miles from Dallas. And me and my wife, she said, that's a long 72 miles. When you're trying to get home, them last miles seem to be the longest, don't it? Long 72 miles. Long 72 miles. Amen. But Jesus walked down there, and he says, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and do you come to me? John knew that Jesus was better than him. And John says, you ought to be baptizing me. I don't really need to be baptizing you. But look what Jesus says. Look what Jesus says. Look what Jesus says. Look what Jesus says. What did he say? Permit it at this time. For in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus said, we got to go by the book, John. We got to go by the book. Go ahead and baptize me, because that's how the Father done had this thing planned it out. And so Jesus is fulfilling the scripture. That's one of those places that we are talking about, so that it can be fulfilled. Amen. And notice, that was the first words that are recorded of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, so that it can be fulfilled. Amen. Amen. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Why was John baptized? Why was Jesus baptized? It was to fulfill the scriptures. John 8:29 talks about so that the scriptures can be fulfilled. Also, the Old Testament priest was washed, and then they was anointed. They was washed, and then they was anointed. So you see that Jesus is washed, and then what happened? And then he was what? Anointed. Amen. Another reason that John needs to baptize Jesus is because God had told John that, "John, you're going to know the Messiah, because after you baptize him, you're going to see the dove, the Spirit, land upon him in the form of a dove, and you're going to know that's the right one. That's him. That's him." And what happened? That's exactly what happened, didn't it? The heavens opened, the Spirit descended in the form of a dove, landed upon Jesus, and the Father said what? "This is my Son, in whom that I'm well pleased." See, right there is one of the reasons that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Because nobody else God ever done that for. Buddha, Mohammed, none of the other religions, founders of the other religions. But when it comes to Jesus, God says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Hey, I don't know about you, but I want to follow somebody that God is pleased with. Amen. 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 A lot of people, we think that God is pleased with certain people, but we know he's pleased with Jesus. Amen. That's why I'm going on with Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Look now. Look, one more thing. The temptation of the king. The temptation of Jesus, or the temptation of the king. Notice the three temptations of Jesus. Look at the three temptations of Jesus. Jesus went in Matthew chapter 4. You see, Jesus was tested in every area of man. Man is composed of what? Three things, right? What? Spirit, soul, and body. And notice, Jesus was tested in all three of those areas. Did you notice that? Look here at verse number 3. It says, "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread.'" The devil is testing him in the area of his body, his flesh. Then notice, but Jesus went to the word on him, didn't he? He said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God." And Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Then the devil, verse 5, took him into the holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you scratch your foot against a stone." So the devil misquoted the Bible. How many times you know that the devil often misquotes the Bible? The angels will protect you, but they will protect you in keeping his righteous ways. The devil left off his righteous ways, or the ways of the Lord. He just says he will keep you. He give his angel charge concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, Yeah, they're going to bear you up as long as you are walking on the pathway of righteousness. But if you walk on the other pathway of worldliness, then the angels don't have to protect you. It's just like an umbrella. As long as you're walking up under the umbrella, the natural umbrella, then I don't care how much it's raining, the umbrella will protect you in the same way. When you are walking in the pathway of righteousness, then the devil can't get you because you are up under the umbrella of God. But if you decide to go in the pathway of unrighteousness, then you remove yourself from up under the umbrella. The umbrella is over here, still up under the pathway of righteousness, but you done got on the unrighteousness. Now you done remove yourself from the protection of Almighty God. Amen. So you got to be very careful. So the devil was trying to tempt him, and so the devil tempted him in his soul. So notice, he started with the flesh, then he done moved to the soul. Now he's going to go one more step deeper. Look what he says, verse number 8, and again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Amen. Was this a legitimate offer? Yes, it is. It's a very legitimate offer. Because God gave the rulership of this world to Adam. God told Adam, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, take dominion, rule this earth. But when Adam sinned, he turned over the rulership to the devil. Yeah. That's a very legitimate offer. Matter of fact, last week we was looking at a Satan in Hollywood and Satan in the music industry on Ghostbusters, and you saw and you heard a lot of these artists was saying how they sold their soul to the devil in order to get rich, in order to get famous. Let me tell you something. You don't get up there where you are selling those millions and millions of albums without making some compromises a lot of time along the way. And a lot of those artists have sold their soul to the devil. See, that's why Jesus even said, what do it profit a man if he gains the whole world? You look at our world today. Our world today is ran basically by 10%. 10% of the men on earth basically control the world. Just a handful of rich folks control the world. You remember a couple of years ago they was having these sit-ins down there in New York, and then they started having sit-ins all over America in major cities. Y'all remember that, how they was sitting down there at Wall Street and stuff, and they was talking about how they was wanting the 10% of these wealthy men who rule the world, they wanted them to start sharing some of this, the wealth. Amen. Share some of the wealth. Keep in mind, you think about it. A man, I believe it was GTE or GE. I don't know if it was GTE or GE. That man at the top, CEO, was making about $57,000 a day. Now, you think about that. You think about that. See, the problem is, the money ain't coming down. They getting it up there at the top. They making a lot of money. and they're keeping it. It's not coming down. But notice, Jesus, he waited, and notice what God did. He resisted that temptation, and God sent the angels, and Jesus got fed some angel food. Now, let me go ahead and close on out. Let me close this on out. So Jesus was tempted in the spirit. He was tempted body, soul, and spirit. Now, if Jesus would have failed at any one of these temptations here, he would have been disqualified. Now, think about it. He would have been disqualified from serving as our king. Think about it. See, most of the time, we really don't understand the seriousness of sin and the power of sin. What did Adam and Eve do to even get thrown out the garden? It wasn't like Adam killed somebody and God said, oh, I can't have no murderer up in here. No, no. He just ate off the wrong tree. And God says, you got to get out of here. You can't stay in paradise. And notice, if Jesus would have slipped at any one of these areas here, he would have been disqualified. And you and I would not have a Savior. But thank God. Amen. Thank God. Look, how should we apply this lesson? Number one, accept Jesus as King of your life. Accept Jesus as King of your life. Amen. Number two, follow him in baptism as obedient to your king. If Jesus could be baptized, and he really didn't have to be baptized, he was just being baptized because it was wrote out that way, you and I need to be baptized. We need to be baptized in obedience that we are indeed following the Lord Jesus Christ. We are identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what baptism is about. It's about identifying with his death. When you come into the baptism pool, you're identifying with his death. When you go down, you're identifying with his burial. When you come up, you're identifying with his resurrection. Thirdly, remember that preparation goes before exhortation. Preparation goes before exhortation. Notice, Jesus didn't even start his ministry until 30 years. He was 30 years old. Most of the time, we get our burning before we get our learning. I was listening to a preacher, and they asked this great preacher, if you knew you had 3 years, that Jesus was coming back in 3 years, what would you do? He said, I would take 2 years of study and prayer and then preach my last year. That's powerful. In other words, he'd do his preparation first. Amen. His preparation go before exhortation. Because, see, if you don't do your preparation, you won't last long. Yeah, you won't last long. If Jesus hadn't been prayed up, if Jesus hadn't been fasted up, he wouldn't have last long. He wouldn't have last long. So preparation go before exhortation. You always go down before you go up. All right. Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.